Hi, my name is Adam Chandler, and I'm a journalist and the author of two books. And I'm excited to share five key insights from my new book, 99% Perspiration, A New Working History of the American Way of Life. Here we go. Insight number one, there's a dark side to the bootstraps myth. It's called the American abracadabra. The bootstraps myth, which is the belief that anyone can succeed in America with a little hard work and a little moxie, is a core tenet of American life. It's something visible in culture, policy, and civics. But there's a dark side to this ideal. If you fail to get ahead, it means that you didn't try hard enough. In my book, I call this the American abracadabra. And the danger of the abracadabra is that it turns success or failure in America into a question of individual character, rather than have us collectively confront the obstacles that have made success so much harder to achieve in recent years. To understand what keeps Americans from a prosperous or stable life, we could look to the cost of housing or healthcare. We could look to childcare or the cost of college in the US. One stat that always jumps out to me comes from a recent study by the Brookings Institution, which found that a mind-blowing 44% of Americans work jobs that qualify as low wage. Insight number two, everyone benefits from time off, especially employers. Generous time off policies in the US have long been looked upon with suspicion by bottom line minded employers, particularly when compared to America's peer nations. One result is that Americans work longer hours on the job than nearly all other industrialized countries. They also tend to skip the breaks to which they're entitled. According to Pew, roughly half of all US workers avoid using their allotted time off out of fear of seeming disloyal, replaceable, or burdening their coworkers. Interestingly enough, it's the higher earners in particular who are most reluctant to use all of their paid time off. Studies have shown that even at companies with unlimited time off policies, workers take even fewer days off despite being given an endless allotment of them. But there's a strong case to be made for employers to not just offer time off, but to also encourage workers to step away from their desks and stations more often. Employees who take time off are not only happier and healthier, but also more productive, more creative, and more loyal. Another huge piece of this equation is the high cost of turnover for companies, in training and replacing workers, as well as in lost morale. Using data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics in 2019, for example, Gallup put a conservative price tag of $1 trillion on the replacement cost of employees who leave their jobs in the US each year. They estimate that the cost of replacing an individual employee can range from 1/2 to 2 times that employee's annual salary. Insight number three, the American work obsession is a civic and social crisis. As you already know, held against our peer countries, Americans are all but alone in how we work longer hours and take fewer vacations or less time off. But we also disproportionately define ourselves by our jobs. In a recent Pew survey, an astounding 71% of Americans listed having a job or career they enjoy as the top measure of what makes for a fulfilling life. That was more than close friendships, having children, or even marriage. Even as we're putting more of ourselves into work, whether it's how we spend our time, construct our social circles, or how we identify ourselves, work is not loving us back. A 2023 Economic Opportunity poll by Gallup found that 39% of Americans believe that they were failing to get ahead despite working hard. That figure back in 2002 was just 23%. And the failure of work to get us where we want to be is a key force that's driving resentment, distrust of institutions, xenophobia, and extremism. Insight number four, immigration is critical to the strength and durability of the American economy. In recent years, immigration, legal or otherwise, has been the focus of populist ire and the centerpiece of political campaigns. What they often leave out, however, is that immigrants are 80% more likely to start a business in America than native-born Americans, whether it's a mom-and-pop outfit like a restaurant or a gas station, or a huge company like Google, Zoom, or Duolingo. On average, immigrant-founded businesses also hire more workers than the others. And when it comes to government benefits, immigrants pay $1.38 in taxes for every dollar of government benefits they use. Lastly, undocumented immigrants paid $96.7 billion in federal, state, and local taxes in the year 2022, far more than many loophole-savvy billionaires or companies on the Fortune 500. Insight number 5. American income inequality isn't just about money. We all know that income inequality has reached dangerous levels in the past decade, but the effect of these disparities have had other strange consequences. Between 1970 and 2009, Stanford researchers estimated that the share of families living in middle-income neighborhoods dropped from 65% to 44%. In other words, high-income households wended their way to wealthier neighborhoods, while low-income households went to poorer ones. Back in 1980, you might be able to live in a city with a high level of income inequality, and it didn't necessarily map geographically. The kid of a doctor and the kid of a dock worker, for example, were more likely to play ball in the same street and go to the same school. But that's no longer the case. These divergences influence everything in a neighborhood, from its crime rate, the quality of its schools, its degree of social mobility, and its stock of good-paying jobs. It also goes all the way to the presence of environmental hazards, the likelihood of developing chronic health conditions, and the life expectancy of both the old and the young. The good news, as I detail in my book, 99% Perspiration, is that there are countless people at every level of society working on bold initiatives to make communities stronger, safer, healthier, and happier. I hope you enjoy the book, and thanks so much for listening.